Blessed Christmas to everybody. I thought we start off with a questionnaire. There's no such thing as a perfect Christmas, but there is such a thing as a great Christmas, right? And of course, what we want is that everybody here has a great Christmas, or maybe from Christmas Eve, today, Boxing Day. So let me just ask a simple question from the heart. And the question is this: what would make a perfect, or what will make a great Christmas for you? I mean, really, just ponder, ask yourself, what will make a great Christmas? Perhaps it could be, you know, some spending time with people that you it really matters to you. That's relational, right? Or maybe getting a gift for someone you loved, and it wasn't one of those gifts that they simply got from somewhere, and every year they wrap it up. It's one of those meaningful gifts. Or maybe you came to church and the choir was great, the worship was fantastic, speaker a bit long-winded. Anyway, I'm going to give you half an hour here, give you really. But what makes a great Christmas? Maybe you see, you know, I went to church and wow, I just left, felt something good, you know. You see, you really break it down. Christmas is, in a sense, a birthday celebration. I mean, it's true to a certain degree. So I want to give an example. My wife's birthday is in January. So let's just say I tell her, look, it's your birthday, and let's go and have a great dinner. Let's go to the food that I like to eat. I love Indian food. Let's go and eat banana leaf. You know what? It's your birthday. Let's go watch a movie. Let's go watch a movie which I really like. Let's watch Rogue One again. I'm a Star Wars geek, so. Or, you know, let's go for holiday and go to Bali, go to somewhere where I, being a very lazy person, don't need to do anything and just rest. You see where we're going with this? You see, if you're honest with yourself, how we answered just now, in many ways, reflects a bit on our self-centeredness. Because really, today is not about us. It's about Jesus. It's really about how today you and I honor God. It's really quite self-centered to say, you know what? A great Christmas is something that makes me happy, makes me feel loved. Then why call it Christmas? So I want us to ponder this question, and in many ways, there's no fixed answer to this. I think there's a specific answer to each one of you in your own, where you're coming from and where you are in life. I really want that to be the message. It's a simple message that we're going to go through Scripture today. At the end of today's message, I just want you to answer this for yourself. What would Jesus want from you this Christmas? First, come before God in prayer. God, Lord God, we thank you. It's Christmas Day. We thank you. And in the busyness of Christmas, as we rush, we try to prepare for dinner and we have presents and activities and we feel so tired. Sometimes teach us to be like Mary and just ponder and ask ourselves what is really the purpose of it all. And we start off today's message by saying it's about you and not us. And let us understand what that means, O Lord, as we just go through Scripture. And we say this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, one thing interesting about Christmas, or difficult, is that, you know, speakers, a lot of pressure, you know, because how often can you repackage a Christmas message? Every year you hear people sit on there, oh, another Christmas message. How often must I hear about a baby in a stable? So people just switch off. So speaker, a lot of pressure on, you know. I'm being honest with you. So here's how people, you can preach Christmas. One is Old Testament, Isaiah is one. Mary, Joseph, you can even take Simeon and John the Baptist, Elizabeth, angels, Song of the Angels, wise men. I mean, the Star of Bethlehem really deals with the wise men. Shepherds in the field. And of course, Apostle Paul has a long section on Christmas in the book of Philippians chapter 2. Now here's what's missing in this list. What's the most obvious person we should listen to about Christmas which is missing? Jesus. So I wanted to find a text which Jesus spoke about Christmas. So I found one, and then I discovered nobody speaks about it at Christmas. I only found one speaker called John Piper who did a very old sermon on it. But I thought this was really about Christmas, and the placing of this is interesting. So here it is. We're going to do one verse. It's found in John chapter 18, verse 37. The ESV has a really great translation of it. The NIV, not so fantastic, but ESV says this. Then Pilate said to him, "So you're a king." Jesus answered, "You say that I'm a king," and here's the Christmas message. "For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world." You can't get clearer than that. That's Christmas. "To bear witness to the truth, everyone who is of truth listens to my voice." Now, why do I like this? Because it's spoken not at his birth, but just before he dies. So before he dies, he reminds everyone why he was born. And this is a time where he's being caught for treason, for some trumped-up charges. And Pilate, the governor, is interrogating him. And the purpose of Christmas is sandwiched between two verses. One about a king. That was an earlier verse. And then one about truth. I'm going to wrap ourselves a little bit about what it means about truth. What it means about being a king. Being born a king this Christmas. So let's go about the first one. What would Jesus want for Christmas? You cannot talk about Christmas without looking at the cross. You really can't. That's what Jesus is really saying. And so we've got to understand why he was born into this world. And there are two things here. One is about him being a king. One of them being him being truth. You have to wrap yourselves around that. So what is it about truth? What is it about being a king? And understanding that will tell us why he was born into this world. Either that we just rattle off, yeah, he was born in this world to save us from our sins. It really doesn't get there. So let's look at the verse again. And this is what he says, "To bear witness to the truth, everyone who is of truth listens to my voice." Now the reply from Pilate is a classic. It is a great reply. You know what Pilate says? He says this, "What is truth?" That's really, really like nowadays what we live in. Okay, so here's the first thing about Christmas. Truth is relative. Let me give you an example. Let's just say me and Dr. Peter climb up a mountain. If you see Peter nowadays, he's lost a lot of weight. Quite healthy. You know, he used to have a bit of that. So now he's... So we climb Mount Pikachu. Is it what they call it? Mount... Can't pronounce it. What do you call it? Mount what? Okay, something like that. It's a big mountain, all right? And we stand on top of there, and me and Peter are there. We look out there, and I tell Peter, "You know what? I'm going to jump." Peter will look at me, and I say, "If I jump, I'm going to fly." Peter said, "Don't be stupid. I know you're an architect, but you're not that stupid, are you? If you jump, you're going to die." Then I tell Peter, whoa, what's you Christians? You're very pushy, you know. You have your truth. I have my truth. You want to believe that if you jump, you're going to die? I respect your view. I believe if I jump, I'm going to fly. Why can't you respect my view? What's wrong with all you Christians? Very pushy, you know. You have your truth. I have my truth. That's relative truth. Now, you can tell. That's such a stupid thing to answer. I mean, architects, not very intelligent. No? Why Kyung is, maybe not me. But it's stupid. Why? Because truth in the physical world is absolute. The laws of physics apply to Peter and me. They are absolute. Now, I want you to dwell a bit on that. Now, if it is true on the physical plane, how about we take it to, say, the emotional plane? If I neglect my daughter, she will grow up dysfunctional. Okay, is that relative? Can I say, oh, no. Everyone knows that because everyone knows cognition, psychology, parent bonding. You need to bond if you are going to have a relationship. So that's absolute. So what's true on the physical plane, or the physical world, is true on the emotional world. And what's true on the emotional world is true on the spiritual world. But here's the strange thing. When it comes to the spiritual world, everybody wants to be relative. You have your God, I have my God. You have your truth, I have my truth. All the truths are the same. The truths are not the same. Truth is absolute. Now, I want you to build a bit on that because that also takes us on a very personal level, because let me break it down to a simpler thing you cannot connect with. Let's just say you had an argument with somebody, or something bad happened to you, or something, you had something unpleasant. What is your immediate reaction? Your immediate reaction is to believe I'm right, the other party is wrong. Because the other side will say, they are right, you're wrong. What has happened? Truth has become relative, but it's not. Truth is absolute. There is a objective truth in that thing. So put that at the back of your mind, okay? You may say, what's this got to do with Christmas? A lot. Hang in there, all right? Second thing, truth is obscured. But it's not, because Jesus tells Pilate, everyone who is of truth, that's quite loaded, you know. I mean, Christians are seen to be of truth, listens to my voice. Truth is not something you analyze and tear apart, and you have your view, I have my view. Truth is revealed by God. It's a revelation, especially on spiritual matters. If God doesn't reveal himself to you, you and I will have different views about God. You can think God is this, God is that. I believe God is whatever you want to be. But God reveals himself. And that's what really Christmas is. God reveals himself in the form of a baby. Now, pause again. I remember when I wasn't a Christian, I said, you know, this Christian is very pushy. Must only be their religion. I mean, why can't we just do good? You hear that quite often. Just do good. And whoever is up there, when I die, and if I do wake up and find out, oh, really, there is an afterlife, whoever is up there, that spirit in the sky, he will look at my good deeds, and he will reward me. He will reward me with the afterlife, or whatever it is. Well, have you noticed how close that sounds like this? It's the same thing. You better watch out. You better not shout. Santa Claus is coming to town. Sorry, I can't sing. He knows if you're naughty. He knows you're nice. He's got a list. And so we treat God like he's Santa Claus. So if I do good, God, wherever you are, you're going to reward me. And it goes to this current world. So we think if we do charity, we do this, God's going to give me good health. If I do a lot of good deeds, God will give me what I desire most. If I'm nice, this is what should happen. And conversely, when bad things happen to me, isn't it true we all ask ourselves, you know, why do bad things happen? Is God punishing me? You see how the thinking is going? So here's the second thing. Truth is objective. And secondly, truth is revealed. Now, here's the clinker. Here's what I really want us to drive home for all of us. And it's this. Truth is a matter of choice. You see, what you see here in these verses, you see this line coming across again. I find no guilt in him. Meaning Pilate has come to a truth. The truth is Jesus is innocent. But what happens? Because of social pressure, he decides to let Jesus be crucified. And so today we have some simple, deep things to look at. Whether it's in an argument with somebody, or how I view God, or what happened to me in my life, I can choose to believe what I want to believe. And very often, we believe lies. That's painful to say, right? But you see, when you look at Pilate, you understand one thing. He's not a bad guy. He's not a murderer. He's not a killer. But yet, even though he knows the truth, he crumbles. His social conditioning influences him. So this Christmas, I want you and I to take a deep look at ourselves, maybe look back the last week. And I know it's not nice to say, wow, Christmas, this speaker really making me feel uncomfortable. There's some good things at the end. Bear with me. But ask yourself this whole last month, is it really what is the absolute truth, or are you believing that because it just makes you feel better? If it is, it reveals a particular sin, and that's why Jesus came into this world. It's this thing called, I want to be king of my life. In fact, that's the bottom line of sin. And Christmas, in many ways, is the answer, because Christmas is the birth of the King of all kings. And why is God telling us that? Why did he send a king in the form of flesh? He's telling us because you and I want to be kings of our lives. And we relegate God to Christmas. Once a year we show up in church, or once a week. And when I leave Christmas today and I go off to work, I'm king of my lives. I blot out God, what I do at work, how I raise my kids, how I deal with my finances, what I do privately with my computer, what websites I surf. It's nothing to do with you. Nothing to do with God. I'm king. And that's sin. And so at Christmas reminds us that God loved us so much that this is the king that saved us. And that's why the birth of the Savior has to end with the cross. And that's why Pilate is told this before Jesus is crucified. And on that cross, he took our sins away. Now, we all have heard this so often that it doesn't enter here. So I want to really tell you why it doesn't enter. It doesn't enter because we are scared. Because the idea of God running my life is frightening. Because sinful nature wants to run our lives our own way, and we bury it away. We come to church, we do a lot of stuff, and we tell everyone we are good Christians. Actually, we are not, because we have not surrendered our entire lives to God. And this is really coming to what Jesus really wants. Now, how do you get that? Very often in Alpha, we do a lot of work in Alpha. We meet a lot of people, and they're like Pilate. They know it's true. But they're not going to cross that line because they're scared. Because being a Christian is difficult. Wow, carry my cross, give up everything. Whoa, no, I'd rather live a lie. And God knows that. And this is the heart of Christmas. You see, it's not just enough. You know why here. You need to do this. You need to marvel at Jesus. A lot of the scriptures are talking about adoration and awe and just having that, wow, he's God. Did he do that? I want you to just break this down a little bit. You see, because the question is this. What Pilate does is that he says, what is truth and what does it do? After he said it, he went back outside. Meaning, like Francis Bacon wrote in a book, he didn't have time to pause, to ponder. One of the best preachers in the world is Francis Chan. He's very well known. He's famous, a best-selling author. And one Christmas sermon, and he was quite right about this. He said that Christmas sermons, we get very preoccupied of, let's get the choir right, let's get the worship right, the sermon's got to be very slick. The whole thing then becomes a performance. So one Christmas service, he prayed and prayed, and he said that God was telling him, you know what, Francis, I don't need you because you're a superstar preacher. So he said, I'm not going to preach on this Christmas day. And he gave the preaching duties to a teenager. Well, I should really do that one day on Sunday. Peter, I feel I'm not preaching. And you know what? Get what a youth to preach it. But you see, there's something different about this youth. And this is her. She preached 15-minute message, and then she sang. I couldn't get a better picture of her on the net. Her name is Eliza. And this was the best Christmas sermon I heard. You know why? Because Eliza is blind. She's blind. And what Francis Chan was trying to tell everyone was, you know what? You come to church and you're distracted. And when you hear her speak, and she says, you know, I'm blind since birth. I've never seen a manger. I don't know what sheep look like. I don't know what a shepherd looks like. I don't know how a wise man looks like. I have never seen stars. But I read and I believe. And I thought, wow, and you understand why Scripture says the blind shall see. And those of us who see, in many ways, we are blind. Why? Because we don't take time to have awe and wonder. And a blind girl pauses and she takes it in and her soul sings out, "Oh, holy night." You see, the song we sang just now is great. Look at it. It's about a king. Countless days on a journey they led so far. Endless nights they traveled to follow the star. They did not find a palace, which is what kings live in. Just a humble village home. And searching for a king, but finding a child, no crown, no throne. You can imagine they arrive and says, "This is it. This is the King of Kings. This is God." Unbelievable. Not possible. And the next verse is great. Still they bowed down. And then God builds something in them, in the three wise men, or don't know whether they're three. Expectation turned to mystery, for nothing was like anything they dreamed. Anticipating the royal throne honored by the world, instead they gazed at the awestruck eyes of a lowly peasant girl. And it struck home that God would be born in flesh, in a lowly manger with animals and shepherds. Why? If that doesn't get you on your knees and says, "Wow," you're missing Christmas. So I'm going to encourage you to do something today, because we get distracted so easily. Take 10 minutes today from your dinner preparation, opening gifts. Take 10 minutes. That's not too much to ask, right? Find a corner, lock the door, and consider and be amazed at this baby Jesus, the baby who became a man, died for my sins, a king who was willing to be humiliated, who took on the form of a servant. But that's only half the story, because he is victorious. And that's why he can die for my sins, because he can rise from the dead. And here's the last part of Christmas that we very often don't ponder upon. And that is this: the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, will return. And when he returns, everyone will be amazed. But for some, it will be too late. You see, think about this. Christmas is a time to be awed by the majesty of God who came as a baby. What have we done? We have replaced it with a fat guy with a white beard carrying presents. Pause again. Christmas is about majesty and meekness as we look at angels coming, descending upon, and star of David guiding. What have we replaced it off? Christmas trees, glittering lights, bling bling. Christmas is about real people, Joseph, Mary, shepherds. We replace it with the North Pole and snowmen and elves. And Christmas ends at the cross. And what have we replaced that with? An Easter bunny. Have you thought about that? You see, what the world is doing, or the devil, we don't know, Christmas is for me to be awed. Instead, it's been trivialized. Trivialized and mocked and made to be fantasy. This Christmas, be awed. Send a few moments. It will do so much to break that fear. Let me just end with this. You see, in the end, what's important is to note, every day is Christmas. Why? Because Christmas, the celebration of Christmas, isn't found in the Bible. We really don't know if Jesus was born on 25th of December. No one knows. It was something the Roman Empire instituted. But you see, the moment we understand why he was born, the moment we learn to be awed of God, learn to adore Him, it becomes Christmas every day. And let me explain this to you. King Bhumibol is probably one of the most loved kings in the world. Why? Because in his majesty as a king, there's a lot of meekness. He was a king that went down to the commoner and he spent time with them. He went to spend time with the poor, the old, the elderly. And he was a king that was deeply loved by the average Thai person. And so when he died, Chulalongkorn Palace put out an edict asking everyone to sort of just do what the king used to do. And so people came out in droves, collected rubbish, planted a tree, did charity, all the things the king did which many other kings did not do. And I saw this t-shirt which I thought was interesting. All you young men, don't look at a girl. You see, I can't read Thai. But you know what the t-shirt says? It says this, follow the father. I thought that was interesting. You see, why did the Thais turn out in droves? Because they saw the love of the father. They saw the love of the king. And the love of the king so changed them, they loved the king back. What did Jesus want from you in Christmas? To love him back the way he loved us. That he loved me and you so much, he came into the world as a baby. And you really, if you pause about that, that's really like, wow. Died for me, and you return in majesty. Really go home and pause. It will just amaze you in that. And that's why Jesus says, you know, he tells us this, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And this morning, God is challenging all of us for the light of life. I'd like to ask the worship team to sort of slowly make themselves back up here. But let me just end with a challenge. You see, two things will happen at the end of this service, and only two. Not three, but two. One, you will entertain. You thought the choir was great, the violinist was great, the speaker was long-winded, but 3 out of 5 stars isn't so bad. And what you did was you hung your problems at the door, like a coat, at a performance. And when you left, you took back your coat, put it back on, and life goes on. Christmas was just a temporary relief. Made no difference to your life at all. Can I challenge you? That's a lie. And if you really feel that way, I challenge you to be not like Pilate and walk away and say, what is truth? I don't believe everything you just said. Stay back, talk to us. Come join us on Wednesday night. Come back next Sunday. Secondly, you heard his voice. And God speaks in many ways. And he says again in the verse we read, everyone who is of truth listens to my voice. And he speaks through his scripture. He speaks through the friend who brought you. He speaks in an inner prompting. This Christmas, if you sit there and you're not a type of guy who likes to be too religious, you come to church occasionally, or you're a person who really have areas in your life which you have not surrendered to God, this is what Jesus wants from you this Christmas, to give your lives to him. And if you're not a Christian and you're quite close to becoming a Christian, we have quite a few of them in Alpha, can I suggest today the best Christmas gift you can give God is to make that decision. You see, life has darkness. I don't want to walk out there tomorrow and you don't want to walk out there tomorrow, and when darkness hits you, and darkness could be in many ways, it could be a health problem, a breakdown in your family, something that takes your happiness away, and there's no light. That's why Jesus says he's the light. I want to share a story from Sharon Kong. I don't know whether she's here today, but she wasn't at first service, but she gave a great story at Alpha on Wednesday. And she said something about life. She said life is like this. you get on a train and you go on live, and life goes on quite well, but sometimes that train goes into a tunnel. And sometimes that tunnel is dark, and it's dark for a very long time. And maybe some of you are in that tunnel. Maybe it's a health issue, it's something. You came to church and you didn't expect anything, but maybe God is telling you, you know what? You're in that tunnel. And what Sharon shared with us on Wednesday, you feel like jumping off that train. Because life is just so, like, why God? And so she quoted something which I thought was interesting, and it's from Corrie ten Boom. This is what she said. When a train goes through a tunnel and it gets dark, you don't throw away the ticket and jump off. You trust the engineer. In Jesus' own word, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. I want to challenge you to persevere if you're going through a difficult time, and talk to us. If after the service, let us pray over you. Don't throw away that ticket. Light has come into this world, and the darkness has not overcome it. Let us close in prayer as we prepare our hearts for this song. Lord, we just ask, we quieten ourselves, and as we prepare for worship, we ask that Christmas is meaningful. And we just ask for, again, just one question that all of us have to answer our own way. And this is this: what do you want from us at Christmas? And we say this in Jesus' name. So we're going to sing a song, and we're going to sing this song seated. Why seated? Because I want you to sort of really take it in. That wasn't a lecture you heard. It's my prayer God spoke to you. And we're going to let the words just sort of sweep over us, and let the Holy Spirit do His work, as Chu Chang will just lead us into worship. And we invite the Holy Spirit to just move in our midst. The Lord, we say, this is not a performance. This is not a meaningless ritual. But this is an encounter with you. This Christmas, we get on our knees. Teach us, O Lord, to be amazed, to be awed And Lord, we confess very often we have just trivialized Christmas, oh Lord. We have just reduced it to a Merry Christmas with no meaning. We ask, oh Lord, for every single person here today, that we will find a moment, a quiet time in after the service, perhaps at home, to just wonder at how you, oh God, Lord of Lords, was born as a baby. And that would just drive us to our knees, and we would just wonder and be amazed and be awed, and we would sense Christmas. And then the meaning of Christmas will just become so much more real to us, oh Lord. And when the meaning of Christmas becomes real to us, oh Lord, when we say, oh Lord, that you are King of our lives and King of every area in our life, oh Lord, that are not just the empty words, but you are truly King of kings and you are really Lord of lords. Hallelujah. Would you just stand up right now? Would you all stand as we praise God and raise our hands to God this Christmas and just give thanks and adore Him for who He is, for He is King of kings, He is Lord of lords and deserving of all our worship. Praise God this Christmas and we will just adore Him, oh Lord, just come in our midst right now and let us just adore you.